No matter how many times I read or hear the account of our Lord's passion, it is something that stops me and stops my heart every time. And it's such an amazing contrast in the liturgy that we have for this Palm Sunday, which is also Passion Sunday. We begin with the account of Jesus entering his holy city, Jerusalem. And the crowds are singing to him. They're laying their cloaks and their palm branches at his feet, singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then we know what happens just a few days later. The same crowd. What were they singing when Jesus was entering his holy city? These words come from one of the Psalms, Psalm 118, which is a psalm of ascent. It describes the king going up to his holy city, entering the city of Jerusalem. And in the first century, it was read in a prophetic way, talking about a time to come when the king would return to the city of Jerusalem. Now the king was also a priest. And when he would go up to his city, he would go up to the temple and to the altar of God to present a sacrifice. This is what they recognized in Jesus. Jesus the king. Jesus the priest, who is about to offer his sacrifice. Now this theme carries on throughout Matthew's account of the Passion at the Last Supper, when he emphasizes that it is a Passover supper. We're commemorating when God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. A lamb was sacrificed to commemorate that deliverance of the 12 tribes out of slavery into freedom. So how does this new sacrifice, which we memorialize at every Mass, just as Jesus told us to, do this in memory of me? How does that sacrifice come to pass? Well, it comes to pass because that same crowd who hailed him as king and priest shout, "Let him be crucified." They're given the choice to free this man who healed them, who shared the word of God with them, who revealed the heart of the Father to them, or Barabbas, a revolutionary. And they choose Barabbas. It's a great irony. His name, Bar Abba, means son of the Father. They're choosing to release this one, called son of the Father, instead of Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, our Father in heaven. But it is because of their decision that Jesus becomes for them this sacrifice, which can lead them out of their slavery into freedom. The sacrifice of this only Son of the Father is how this triumph comes to pass, the triumph that they had been singing about when he entered the holy city. Now we hear that Pilate wants no part in this. He washes his hands, wants to take no responsibility for it. And so what does the crowd say? "His blood be upon us and upon our children." How their tune has changed from hailing him as king to taking responsibility upon themselves and their children for his death. Now the Catechism tells us that it's not just these people who say this who are responsible for the death of Jesus. And blame is certainly not to be placed on all the Jewish people. No, the Catechism tells us all sinners are the authors of Christ's passion. You and me have made this come to pass. It is our responsibility. Now, at one moment, when our surroundings might favor it, we might praise Jesus and acclaim Him as Lord. But at the next, when circumstances don't favor it, don't we find ourselves being silent or going along with falsehood and sin? We are that crowd. It is us. You know, we find ourselves in a moment in our local church history where we have challenges and difficulties that we face from outside the church and from within the church. And as we meditate on the Lord's Passion this week, will we be willing throughout this time, throughout these challenges, will we be willing to remain close to Jesus and His church during the necessary sacrifices that we will have to make for the common good of the church? Or will we allow our hearts to be embittered against the church, Jesus' bride for whom He laid down His life, and repeat, therefore, the angry cry of the crowd, "Let Him be done in. I don't want anything to do with Him anymore." We have a choice to remain with Jesus or to turn our backs on Him. Now, the great irony in Matthew's Gospel, what the people cry out as they take on responsibility, "Let His blood be upon us and on our children," is that this is precisely what they do need. This is precisely what does save us, that the blood of Jesus is poured out upon us. That Jesus, in accepting His passion, is making Himself the sacrifice for our sake. He is taking on the sins of them all, and He is nailing them to the cross so that they might find forgiveness and freedom. Jesus is the high priest precisely when He takes His place, when He rises to the altar of the cross. And at His death, He cries out, and the veil of the temple is torn in two. Right? That's what it's saying, that Jesus is entering behind the veil where the high priest offers this sacrifice, is being opened for us. His is the true sacrifice for the salvation of the world. He sacrifices His own life, pours out His own blood upon those who have offended Him, those who crucified Him. The letter to the Hebrews, we hear about this high priest. It says we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weakness. And so we hear Jesus cry out, my God, why have You abandoned Me?" For all the times when we feel that God is far away, that He is not with us, that He does not care, that He cannot love us, that He has abandoned us, our high priest sympathizes with us in our weakness. He brings our cry of desperation to the Father. And we know that the Father hears His prayer and raises Him from the dead on the third day. Just so for us, if we remain with Jesus, if our hearts are united with Him, if we are willing to go with Him to the end, to be crucified with Him, if we are willing to hold on to faith even when it feels that God is far away or has abandoned us, we will know his redemption. We will know the salvation that he has won for us. The great king and the high priest has entered his holy city. He has gone up to the place of sacrifice to offer to the Father a sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus has come and he has given his life on the cross so that you and I, who have crucified him with our sins, might find forgiveness and new life.